You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about fantasy football and NFL at large for SportingNews.com. So fallout of Week 11 is up right now. I have the playoff picture that I update after every game. And then we have some breakdowns of the Eagles, Carson Wentz. They had a win, and as well as Case Keenum and the Vikings, and Drew Brees and the Saints. So the three best teams in the AFC keep it rolling, as well as the two best teams in the AFC, the Patriots and Steelers. So you can check all that out, as well as our fantasy team having the suggested picks of the week. We'll go into more detail with those on Pickup Tuesday. And reminder, this week is a little abbreviated. We have shows Monday through Wednesday. With the Thanksgiving holiday, we have three big games. So we'll get you ready, all set for that onslaught of games on Thursday, getting you through the weekend here. First, we got to break down what we saw in Week 11 on Thursday and Sunday games, and we do that here every week on Roundup Monday. And let's dive into it for Week 11. We'll go back to Thursday, and we had the Steelers and Titans on that one. And finally, Ben Roethlisberger, you're waiting for this game. He has let down in good matchups before, even in the previous week against the Colts. Same thing with Antonio Brown. But that connection, you knew it was going to rev up. Remember, they had the three-touchdown hookup on Thanksgiving night last year. They did a week earlier this time with 30 for 45, 299 yards for Ben Roethlisberger, four TDs. Three of them go to Antonio Brown, and had 10 catches for 144 yards on 13 targets. So the overcorrection was there from the Colts game. Juju Smith-Schuster, if you look at those numbers, he's going to take a backseat, 4 for 47 and 8 targets. He was still involved. It was just the Antonio Brown dominance show here. If you were a Le'Veon Bell owner, you're happy that he had 9 catches in a PPR, and overall, you'll take the 103 yards there combined from scrimmage, but you could have had that touchdown. You would have liked if they had called that in and not reversed it, turned into a Jesse James touchdown in the fourth one for Roethlisberger. So Bell could have had a bigger game, but PPR, this is why sometimes you play it. He came through big time for you with those 9 grabs, but yardage, he's going to be pretty consistent with that floor there. So pretty typical Steelers game and a good matchup, 40-17. On the other side, Marcus Mariota, we didn't really like him in this game. He did actually come through with a rushing and passing touchdown with 306 yards, but had 4 picks, was sacked 5 times. So Mariota's a little off, and when that usually happens, it's a real hit to the running game. 7 for 32 for Derrick Henry, only 8 for 10 for DeMarco Murray. He had 5 catches for 37, so kind of respectable in a PPR, but Henry and Murray just are rendered useless in this game. It was Rishard Matthews and Delanie Walker, however, both having good games. 5 for 113 and a TD, including a long 75-yard play for Matthews. 6 targets, so very efficient there, and 6 for 92 for Walker. So a lot like the setup from last year, minus the production running game. A lot of Matthews, a lot of Walker. Still hard to trust Corey Davis, Eric Decker, any other receivers. Still a two-receiver show and pretty much a one running back thing until we see Murray actually go down with injury. It's been teased before in the past, but it's a limited fantasy team right now that is struggling a bit offensively, and that is a concern as we go forward down the stretch. Our next game, as we flip the switch to Sunday, was Buccaneers' points explosion here. 30-20 over the Dolphins. They go and win this game that was originally scheduled for Week 1. Ryan Fitzpatrick was solid, 275 yards and 2 TDs here. So if you used him, streamed him after that disappointment last week against the Jets, you were happy about that. 352-1 for O.J. Howard there on the scoreboard. 228-1 for DeSean Jackson. You were extremely disappointed, though, of Mike Evans because you thought he could have a much bigger game. 10 targets, but only caught 5 for 92. He had multiple chances to make big plays. He had a touchdown that he could have caught. So Mike Evans, for how high you drafted him, you expect a little bit more than 14 in a PPR, 9.2 in a standard. And Cameron Brate, you thought this Harvard-Harvard connection was going to go pretty well, but it's been Howard coming on strong here as a bigger factor in this offense. He had four targets to Brate's three. So Brate is no longer a guy that you can look at now that they're looking at different guys in the red zone. Even Jackson got involved here, supposed big play threat. So what's happened with Ryan Fitzpatrick is there's no guys that can stretch the field. It's all dink and dunk. It's going to hurt Brate when Evans and Jackson aren't stretching the field the way they were to Winston. And that's exactly what's happened. Doug Martin, we said this is a game that we have to look at to see if he has any value. Weak Dolphins run defense in terms of free falling past several weeks, 19 carries, 38 yards. So they tried two receptions for 6 yards. So Doug Martin just is unusable at this point. He's had one good game that I can really think of against the Patriots. He's just a guy that's a dead weight in your lineup as an RB2 week after week. And you wonder when the Bucs are just going to say, okay, we've had enough. We've got Jaquizz Rodgers, who Dirk Koetter likes. His job is on the line as a coach. So maybe you'll see Koetter go towards Rodgers and Peyton Barber a little bit more if Martin continues to struggle like this. And remember, he wasn't a big fan of Martin last year. On the other side of things, Jay Cutler, we liked as a streamer. Unfortunately, he had a rough go of it here. 6 completions, 3 interceptions before he had to leave with possible concussion there. Had a TD, but the Dolphins were moving the ball just fine. Just a lot of bad mistakes by Cutler. Matt Moore comes in, and you could tell how this passing game had such a good matchup. 282 yards and a TD in relief. So you look at this team, they went over 365 with a pair of scores here overall combined TDs. That doesn't really help you much if you took the chance on Cutler, but at least the beat goes on for the main guys here. Devontae Parker, the one thing I've noticed with Matt Moore, Moore favors stills a lot more, and that you saw that. 7 catches, 180 yards, including 61-yard TD there from stills. And Jarvis Landry, another red zone TD, 6 for 95, TD on 11 targets. So Stills and Landry kind of become the guys there instead of Landry and Parker with Cutler in there. So Parker's really hurt when Cutler is not in the game. So that's a concern going forward. This was a good matchup, and he absolutely did not come through against the secondary at all. And the backfield is very frustrating. If you started Kenyon Drake in this one, for some reason they just went Damian Williams as the feature back for most of his game. He did come through 11 touches there, broke 100 yards, 102 yards. So a very strong game from Williams. Drake, it was surprising because he was the better runner earlier. But Adam Gase is doing some weird stuff. The Stills-Parker thing is an effect. This is an effect there with 8 touches for only 14 yards for Drake. So highly disappointing after the usage you thought you could trust here with Drake being the more explosive back. It goes back to Williams. So just extremely frustrating. I think Williams and Drake, it's more of a deep league flex and hope for the best with the way they use these guys. And reminder, if you love your local team, whether it's the Titans or Steelers or Bucks or Dolphins, there is a podcast on the Locked On Network for you on the NFL channel. We've got your version of a beat report throughout the week, covering it with interviews, news notes, everything you need to know to set up your team season every week. So check that out on the Locked On Network. Now we go to our next game on Sunday. This was another weird matchup of backup quarterbacks. We had Blaine Gabbert and Tom Savage. Gabbert was actually pretty good in this game. He did throw 2 picks, and that brought him down. And actually, Tom Savage was not bad. 230 yards, 2 TDs, interception. Gabbert goes 257 and 3. So the least thing with Gabbert, he got the ball in the hands of Larry Fitzgerald. 10 targets there to lead the team. 9 for 91 and touchdown. I thought he could have had a much bigger game, but there's a lot of possession stuff there for Gabbert. Ricky Seals-Jones, a little-used player there at tight end, 3 for 54 and 2 TDs. So comes out of nowhere, absolutely nowhere near anyone's lineup there. Just unbelievable that this guy pops up with Gabbert in there and scores. So a lot of people probably chase him after this week. You can't totally ignore him. He had 5 targets, 54 yards, 3 catches there. So he made some big plays for this team, but it's hard to trust anything in this Cardinals passing game going forward, especially with the chance to maybe go back from Gabbert to Drew Stanton. Who knows? Adrian Peterson, they keep trying to force it. It doesn't happen in these tough matchups. 15 touches for 39 yards. So unless it's a good matchup, a great matchup, really, you cannot go with Peterson at this point in this Cardinals offense. On the Texans side, Tom Savage didn't look totally lost. It was a more favorable matchup against a struggling secondary. He did get the ball in the hands of his playmakers. That helped. DeAndre Hopkins, 9 targets, caught only 4, but turned them into 76 yards and a nice 34-yard grab there for a TD. So that definitely was a big factor in Hopkins' day, and he continues to produce no matter the quarterback. Bruce Ellington at a PPR, very useful, working as that number 2 receiver with no Will Fuller there, 6 for 63. So he came through in a PPR, also had 1 rush for 5 yards. Lamar Miller, the solid game as well, had a great touchdown catch there too. So really took 2 great plays to get Savage on the board, but that's the talent of Hopkins and Miller. Miller had 22 carries for 61, but 4 for 22, including that TD. So solid games from both of the principals there that you never bench. That's why you don't bench those guys, because they touch the ball and they can always score. And Dante Foreman, unfortunate for him, finally gets involved in a big way. 10 carries, 65 yards, including a 34-yard TD as part of his 2 TDs. Then he gets hurt, torn Achilles there. So tough break from the rookie from Texas right as he goes off. So Foreman, you can't really chase him anymore. His season is done. At least Savage is facilitating the playmakers now, and you got to take that as a positive. We go to our next game, and this was the biggest disappointment of them all. DFS, you name it. The Chiefs just laid an absolute egg here. 12-9. They lose in overtime to the Giants. The previous 1-win Giants that just lost to the 49ers last week. And you got a hand to the Giants. They did come to play. Their defense really stepped up here. And you thought the Chiefs were going to trounce all over them. Travis Kelce still got his 8 for 109 on 14 targets. So rather inefficient on the day when this team was just giving up droves to tight ends, including a touchdown every game. Kelce had scored in 3 straight weeks, and the Giants shut him down out of the end zone. And then to make matters worse, the Chiefs tried a ridiculous tight end option pass with Kelce. He got picked off, so you got -2 from that performance from Kelce. When I know you expect Kelce to produce, but it should have been a lot bigger for you, and it was very disappointing, especially in DFS. So is Kareem Hunt. 18 carries only in this game. That was close the whole way. 73 yards. He grinding at the Giants. We're trying to stop it, but the Chiefs just could not open up the passing game to help Hunt. 7 for 68. Tyreek Hill caught all his targets there. So you wonder why Hill and Kelce were not involved more. Nobody else was, really. So Alex Smith, a terrible game. He had 1 interception all season. Throws 2 more in this game. Remember, he had his first one in the previous game against the Cowboys. So Alex Smith, hard to trust now to facilitate this offense. You're still looking at Kelce and Hill, but you got to be really disappointed with Hunt right now, because Chiefs should be feeding him a lot more, letting him get his legs. We know that he gets better as the game goes on. That didn't happen here. They just got behind in the second half in terms of getting his touches, and it was really frustrating in the end, and the result was what they deserved, a 12-9 loss. On the other side, Sterling Shepard was that late scratch. We loved his matchup. And they did more committee there with Roger Lewis and Tavares King and Travis Rudolph kind of picking up his production. It really hurt Evan Ingram here. Only 1 catch for 9 yards. Kind of he became the focal point of the Chiefs offense without Shepard there. And it really hurt the rookie tight end. It was his worst game in quite a while. Orleans Darko, what can you say about him? He's a guy that the Giants love. He's just reliable. He gets the tough yards. He gets the red zone work. He got a touchdown here. 22 touches for a solid 90 yards and a score, while Wayne Gallman and Shane Vereen just not seeing a lot. So they love Darkway. He's kind of the stabilizing force in this offense. When the passing game is struggling, you're disappointed in Eli Manning in this one as well. You expected more. But the Shepard loss, hopefully you were able to pivot from that as soon as you heard that news and go away from Eli. But tough game overall for both sides, but hugely disappointing for the Chiefs. More than anything else, because they really had no excuse to go fade in this one. The Jaguars beat the Browns 19-7. We kind of expected it to be this type of game where the Jaguars wouldn't really score much, but they would shut down the Browns. I was surprised, actually, the Browns scored 7 in this one. DeShone Kizer, 179 yards, a TD, and 2 interceptions. The touchdown went to Duke Johnson. So Isaiah Correll finally cooled off here, 11 carries for 18 yards. But Duke Johnson, big factor in the pass game, 456 and 1 on 6 targets, and 2 for 10 rushing. The story here was Corey Coleman, finally involved. Tough matchup there against the Jaguars secondary, but 6 catches for 80 yards, 11 targets is the big number here that Kizer went to Coleman heavily coming back from the hand injury. Coleman was his clear number one guy there. So in a better matchup with a better chance for garbage time, 6 for 80, you'll take that a tough matchup. If you went past all the advice and rolled the dice on Coleman, you were rewarded there with a pretty solid game as a wide receiver 3. So keep that going forward. That's the takeaway from the Browns. Still a turnover machine here. Had 2 interceptions for Kizer, 5 sacks. Lost a fumble. Jacksonville's defense has just been an absolute monster all year in fantasy. It continues to be the case here. Blake Bortles, you probably try to stream him, but I thought this was a bit of a trap. I thought Marquise Lee would be disappointing as well. It was 5 for 45 for Lee, 335 for Dede Westbrook in his NFL debut. Mercedes Lewis, as I thought, would have a touchdown in this, and he did. He had the one passing touchdown from Bortles, 154 and 1 for Bortles, excuse me. Wish it was 4. But Bortles was, that's why you have to be careful with starting a guy like this on the road that hasn't done much. Remember, matchup is one thing, but talent and a production is another. And Bortles is a tough guy to trust. Leonard Fournette, people were off him pretty hard, but 28 carries, he grinded out 111 yards, had a 29-yard run. So it was tough sledding, but Fournette just showed you his talent. The ankle injury was a concern, but he ended up with 118 yards from scrimmage in this one. So considering the matchup was tough and the Jaguars didn't score much, that was a great performance by Fournette and restores his faith that he is a bell cow RB1 for your team. We go to our next game, a bit of a surprise high-scoring game, 27-24. The Lions come back to beat the Bears. They were down 10-0 after the first quarter. Matthew Stafford struggled a little bit early, but came through again, 299 yards and a pair of scores here for Stafford. So he's getting the job done. It's because they don't really run the ball. 24 for 65 total. Amir Abdullah 11 for 22. Theoretic 9 for 35. But Amir Abdullah again scores for the third straight game, this time as a receiver. So that was a nice little twist where they brought him in that situation near the goal line. So still not a great yardage game, but when he's getting in the end zone, 35 yards looks a lot better when it's 9.5 points in a standard league. And you look at the passing game, Golden Tate was very disappointing, 3 for 32. You thought it could be a Tate game, but instead it was a Marvin Jones Jr. game. He had only 4 catches on his 7 targets for 85, but clearly TJ Jones and Kenny Golladay are causing this team to spread things out a little bit more. 455 on 5 targets for TJ Jones, 2 for 52 on 3 targets for Golladay, and 4 for 49 and 7 for Eric Ebron. So Stafford is becoming a little bit like Tom Brady in the fact that he's spreading the ball around. You know who's going to get theirs every week, but Jones is clearly the big playmaker guy. Tate is more the possession guy. Everything else is kind of a little bit random with the way they use these guys, but Stafford at the controls. His team doesn't run well still. Even in a good matchup against the Bears, he came through in a tough matchup for the passing game. So Stafford is a guy that you can now trust going forward as a potential back and QB1, maybe more of a middle-of-the-pack QB1. On the Bears side, Mitchell Trubisky still let loose here to do some things, but you're happy that at least Jordan Howard got involved. 15 carries, 125 yards, and a TD. So went back to Howard. He was more effective here in a second straight home game against a division opponent. And with that, all of a sudden, they decided to use Tarik Cohen a little bit more. 9 rushes, 44 yards, and a TD. 4 catches, 15 yards. So all of a sudden, Benny Cunningham takes a back seat. Cohen gets thrown out there. The back usage in relation to Howard from when we saw earlier in the season. So that was a good sign. If you held on to Cohen and you didn't just throw him out of your lineup after last week's disappointment, he still has some use in these type of matchups, and Lions could be run on a little bit, so that did help Howard and Cohen, but it was just, it's just so hard to trust what the Bears coaching staff is going to do. But maybe now that Cohen has proved himself again, that they won't think he's a little guy and a gadget player and actually give him more touches here. Dontrell Inman was treated like the number one, but that only added up 3 catches, 43 yards, and on 5 targets, while Adam Shaheen, stepping up more with the absence of Zach Miller, tight end, the rookie, there, 4 for 41 on TD. So I think you could see a lot more Inman and Shaheen as Trubisky's key targets going forward. I think Inman is definitely an owned player, should be in 12 to 14 team leagues as a potential wide receiver 4-5 that you can plug in there. And Shaheen is going to get some more steam there with he's just a plus athlete and a talent with big size that I think is really going to be a big factor for the Bears in time, and this year is just scratching the surface. We go to one of our marquee games, really. 24-7, the Vikings hold off the Rams. They dominate the Rams at home. It looked like the Rams were going to get going in this one early. Well, good early drive from Jared Goff. Todd Gurley caps with a TD, but that was about it. Goff, no TDs, no picks, 225 yards, so not much to see there. Yeah, Todd Gurley, 15 for 37 and a TD, but it was his lowest rushing output of the season, only 37 yards, only 19 yards receiving. So he kind of saved his day with the TD. Otherwise, it would have been absolutely miserable, even in a PPR league. So Robert Woods continued to produce, even with the potential top matchup with Xavier Rhodes. He actually got more of Trey Waynes this one, and also Rhodes had a calf injury, so he's in and out of the lineup. He was not in there maybe as late to kind of rest that calf when the game was out of hand as well. So keep that in mind. Woods came through, but he's clearly the number one here. Cooper Kupp, we thought it a good matchup. Had a chance near the goal line. Didn't happen. 6 for 64. Lost a fumble there. That was very disappointing. And then 3 for 36 for Sammy Watkins. But Robert Woods' consistency is there, even when he's not exploding like he did the previous 2 weeks. And that's what we saw. So Goff could have had a touchdown. Kupp could have had a touchdown. That was a bad, bad misconnect there with a fumble at the goal line. So keep that in mind. But it's still more Woods first, Kupp second, Watkins third in this pecking order going forward. And the tight ends just were totally useless in this one. Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee just are not ready. They had 7 targets combined, but only 2 catches, so nothing to see there anymore. So as we go to the Viking side of things, a lot more positives, obviously. 24-7. I didn't really like Case Keenum in this one. I thought they could run effectively on the Rams, and that kind of happened here. 280 yards and a TD, so not a terrible game for Keenum, but not what you're looking for. Maybe if you're looking for that 20-point game from your QB that can really carry you. But Latavius Murray, I thought it would be more of a Jerick McKinnon game, and it was pretty effective for McKinnon, 19 touches, 60 yards, but Latavius Murray gets the goal line love, and he was in position to score 2 short ones. 15 for 95 and a pair of scores from Murray. What can you say about Adam Thielen? I mean, people look at Stephon Diggs as being the number one. I think Adam Thielen, in the sense of being the complete receiver that they go to every time, especially with Keenum in there, it's Thielen to me. 6 for 123, including a 65-yard TD. Yeah, he's the big playmaker as well. He's been a monster in terms of receiving yardage, and now he's getting in the end zone all of a sudden. It had been a struggle to do that for Keenum and him before that Browns game, but he's taken off Browns, Redskins, now the Rams. So Thielen is becoming a wide receiver one knocking on the door. I hate to say in PPR that he probably was already there in PPR with yardage, but now with the scoring, he's definitely a major threat as a wide receiver one, and he's probably up there in scoring. I mean, think about some of the guys up there that are disappointing, Julio Jones and Jordy Nelson, AJ Green. I think you can stack up Thielen and his production with any of those guys at this point. So he's locked into your lineup every week. Diggs 4 for 32 on 6 targets. So it's looking like next year, if you're drafting and people probably still go for Diggs first, I would go for Thielen easily, and he to me is easily a second round pick in fantasy next year for sure with the situation. Hopefully it'll still be Keenum and quarterback, but I think Thielen is just too good where no matter who the quarterback is, he's going to be a big, big producer. What a season for him. 5 for 58 for Kyle Rudolph there. So good to see him do a little bit more at work there underneath. Thielen and Rudolph, still big factors. Diggs is just not looking the same. He did have a big game last week against the Redskins, but Thielen is just more consistent overall, and we've seen that. And he was one of the greatest picks in a draft that you got. It's probably a wide receiver four, and now he's producing like a wide receiver one for your team. Our next game, there's not much to see here, at least on one side. The Packers and Ravens. The Ravens go to Lambeau Field, win 23-0. It looked good early for the Packers. They were driving, moving the ball, and then Brett Hundley threw an interception. He had three picks, 239 yards, no indication of a QB change, and that's frustration. But if you're a Devontae Adams owner, you're thrilled by this change because he keeps coming through here. Eight catches on 10 targets for 126 yards. So clearly there's a connection between Hundley and Adams that's not there between Hundley and Jordy Nelson, 2 for 24. It seems like this is the line for Nelson every week. Randall Cobb faded again since that first game with Hundley, 3 for 34. So a lot of Devontae Adams, a lot of not much else here. Jamal Williams, if he plugged in, he had to grind, but he got there with 22 touches, got to the 95 yards. So that's an acceptable performance as an RB2. I didn't expect much in this game. Really, without the usage in the passing game, that was a bit surprising for Williams that it would have been a kind of a nightmare game. But the Ravens' run defense is totally back to being a force there with Brandon Williams, as I thought it would be. On the other side, Joe Flacco, I expect a little bit more, but again, it's Joe Flacco. It's like Blake Bortles. Keep in mind who you're dealing with. 183 yards, TD interception. Jeremy Maclin, I expected a bigger game. It actually went to Mike Wallace, 4 for 56. Four targets, four catches as well on five targets for Maclin. So they're pretty even. It was just that Wallace had an amazing circus catch touchdown that made his day. Alex Collins saw the return of Danny Woodhead, and Danny Woodhead and Buck Allen kind of took each other out in this game. Well, it was a lot of Alex Collins, 20 carries, 49 yards on TD, added four catches for 22. So even with the return of Woodhead, 5 for 21 in the receiving game, Collins was still ever involved. Allen was pretty much a blip on the radar here for the Ravens. And so keep that in mind. Collins is still going to be the early down back, going to get a lot of touches. Woodhead, I would assume, I mean, given that he already had five catches on six targets in this game, he's going to be a bigger factor next week when Allen is going to fade more. They just like Woodhead a lot, and he's going to be a big factor. Not with Maclin, Wallace. I think Wallace is more boom or bust. Maclin might have the steadier floor, but remember, this is a low upside passing game altogether, so it's really matchup based, and that's why we liked some of the things in the Ravens offense this week. We go to our final game. It was in the 1 p.m. hour, at least. It was an overtime thriller there between the Saints and Redskins. It wasn't much of a thriller for the Redskins, who blew a big, big lead there, 16-point lead late in the game, and it was pretty bad here. The Saints just kind of took control. They started slow, but this is the game you were looking for Drew Brees. You wanted the Saints to be from behind, where their pass defense struggled a little bit. Defense overall wasn't doing anything, so Brees had to chuck, chuck, chuck. Here came the 41 attempts here, 385 yards, two TDs. Did have an interception early that kind of set all this in motion, so keep that in mind. It's actually his pick early that got the Redskins in control, ended up to his production later. Go figure. Alvin Kamara still got his plenty in this game. Eight carries, 42 yards. That was okay, but 6 for 74 and a TD, and also had the two-point conversion there late to tie the game to send it into overtime. So Kamara still came through, even with the game flow out of their favor. So did Mark Ingram. What can you say? He's just a monster rusher right now. 11 carries, 134 yards, and a TD. Also had three catches for 21 yards. So those two guys keep going. And with Drew Brees throwing some more, you saw Kobe Fleener back on the radar. You haven't seen Kobe Fleener involved too much unless the game flow has the Saints trailing. We saw that in the previous games there against the Vikings and Patriots early in the season. Scored in both those games, 5 for 91 here and 5 targets. So they get him out there in those passing situations. So you got to kind of predict game flow, unfortunately, with Fleener having any use at all. 6 for 91 for Michael Thomas. Solid game again, 11 targets. But you'd like him to see the end zone a little bit more, but he's solid PPR. And he's more of a wide receiver, too, without those touchdowns, but still very consistent part of this offense. Ted Ginn right there with him, 6 for 87, caught all of his six targets there. So this offense pretty much is very similar. A lot of Ingram, a lot of Kamara, a lot of Thomas, Ginn right there with him, and then Fleener when needed, and that's what you saw, and that's what led to Breeze's big game here on the Redskins side of things. Kirk Cousins came through again, 322-3 here. He's on fire. He's a streaky guy. Doesn't matter who's out there. His touchdowns went to Ryan Grant, Jeremy Sprinkle, and Chris Thompson. And unfortunately, Chris Thompson fractured his fibula in this game. So tough blow there after he had scored early in the game. He ends up with five touches for 33 yards in his final game. The story is Samaje Perine. Finally, the rookie with no Rob Kelly in there starts to look good. 23 carries, 117 yards, and a TD. One catch for 9 yards. So Perine, it took a long time, but here he is. I think they pushed all the right buttons with him. He's producing. Josh Doctson, 4 for 81, and Jamison Crowder, 7 for 72, as well as Vernon Davis, 3 for 67. So that's where this offense is pretty much going with no Terrell Pryor. Ryan Grant had the other TD, as I mentioned, 3 for 59, but he's kind of a hit-or-miss type player. These guys, Doctson, Crowder, look steady in PPR, as well as Davis, as long as Jordan Reed is out. So Cousins seems to get his no matter who's out there now. Remember, it could cool off at any moment, but you like the way Cousins is playing. And now they just, in reality, they just struggled in the end, and it really cost them, with the Saints being able to come back in a flourish and finish off the Redskins, really their season, as the Saints move on in the NFC while the Redskins struggle for playoff relevance. Another show that you have to check out on the network is Locked On NFL Draft. We're getting you ready for the next generation of quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends that will take the league by storm and could produce big things as early as next year. We're talking about guys like Saquon Barkley of Penn State, Josh Rosen of UCLA, Sam Darnold of USC. Those guys played each other this past weekend, so a lot of good stuff to talk about there on Locked On NFL Draft. We'll close with the late games here, the afternoon games and the Sunday night game. It was mostly AFC, a little bit of NFC to cap the night. But Chargers and Bills, what can you say about this one? Nathan Peterman was a disaster. 6 for 14, 66 yards, 5 interceptions. You wonder what the Bills could have done with Tyrod Taylor. There he comes in mop-up relief, 158 and a TD for Taylor. There he also came in and rushed for a TD. So it was kind of weird. You had, if you had some foresight or magical ability to know that Tyrod Taylor was going to still play in this game and play a lot and get a couple TDs, you might have gone with him, but I doubt that. But at least you got LeSean McCoy to do something big time in this. 13 carries, 114 yards, had a TD before the Peterman Express totally derailed here, and had a late catch there from Taylor, 1 for 12 and a TD there. So you were very happy with McCoy, looking at this box score, the way Peterman started, the game flow, all that. To have McCoy come through with one of his best games this season, you had to be thrilled. That's why you don't sit guys like McCoy. They're just special, and he definitely delivered there. Looking at the receiving core, Kelvin Benjamin went down with a knee injury, so that was fun while it lasted, while he was a Buffalo Bill this season. Zay Jones, 4 for 68, was the leading receiver here, so tough to make too much of this game, but we'll have to see who's the starter going forward. I would think they'd have to think about going back to Tyrod Taylor. Even though he's been disrespected quite a bit, he'll take it and play, because that's better than not playing. So that's going to bring Charles Clay back in the mix. That's going to bring more of Deontay Thompson back in the mix, Zay Jones. So without Benjamin, they're going to have to readjust their passing game. But Taylor clears the guy to facilitate things all around, and Peterman's not ready for that. The Chargers, okay, so we'll talk about them. They scored 54. A lot of that was helped by the five picks. Easy position to score. 251 yards and 2 TDs for Phillip Rivers. Ironically, Kellen Clemens did still play in this game, even though Rivers cleared concussion protocol and started. Clemens still got some action in mop-up duty. It got so out of hand. Melvin Gordon, you were expecting even bigger things. He ends up with 20 for 80 and a touchdown, so you'll take that. You just wanted a little bit more, but given his recent run, it wasn't terrible at all. 6 for 40 and a TD for Austin Eckler. So Eckler gets his in a weird way, because they had to pull out Gordon late And he also had two catches for 18 yards. So another solid game for Eckler. Not the way he expected. And Keenan Allen, if you've been waiting for him to do something for a long time, 12 for 159 and two TDs here. So this explosion was about to come at some point. Unfortunately, you want him to be a little bit more consistent, but 13 targets, 12 of those. Hunter Henry still no there where to be found, 2 for 25 and 5. It was interesting that Mike Williams, the rookie, had 8 targets, 5 for 38 in this one. So maybe he'll be a bigger factor, but really between Hunter Henry, Travis Benjamin, and Tyrell Williams, you cannot trust any of those guys. With Allen, there's a clear number one, and Williams might be emerging as a number two target there, and especially with Eckler's involvement there in the passing game as well. Our next game was the Bengals going into Denver and winning 20-17. We look at this matchup. Brock Osweiler moved the ball well early, but he threw a bad pick that went the other way and helped the Bengals score in a short TD to the tight end that we thought was going to come through, Tyler Kroft. The other receiver that came through was Alex Erickson with a long catch there, 2 for 42 and a score, and then 9 targets for AJ Green. You knew it was a tough matchup, but you'll take it when he scores in any game. 4 for 50 and a touchdown for Green. So tough matchup, still came through because the Broncos, their offense is so bad, it's really brought down their defense too. And their defense just seem uninterested at times and just uninspired because of how poor the offense is playing. And that really allowed the Bengals to steal this one. They had no business doing this. 154 yards and 3 TDs. Unusual stat line for Dalton. 20 carries, 49 for Mixon. We thought he would struggle. That exactly happened in this game there. But when you look at the Broncos side of things, at least if you went with C.J. Anderson, he did enough to please you here with the 15 touches, 56 yards, and a touchdown. Devontae Booker did get a lot of work here all of a sudden. 19 touches for 98 yards. So he was heavily involved. Anderson did get the love early, but it seemed like they were going more passing mode with Booker later, and they were trying to make up for things and trying to find some source of spark in their offense from the second-year running back. It didn't quite happen overall, but still of note that Anderson and Booker were able to be productive in the same game. See, Emmanuel Sanders was very disappointing. He had 8 targets in this game. Brock Osweiler and him were just off, and it's funny because Osweiler and Sanders usually have a good connection. We saw the big game last week. It was a good matchup for Sanders, so very disappointing that didn't come through. Demaryius Thomas, however, second straight games, finds the end zone, 5 for 64 and 9 targets. So if nothing, the Osweiler change has really helped Demaryius Thomas know that he can score again and get targeted that way. He had 9 targets there to lead the team. So Demaryius Thomas is back in that wide receiver one conversation with the way he's being used by the Broncos, the one maybe consistent bright spot of this offense going forward. Our next game, the Patriots 33 and the Raiders 8. It was all Patriots in Mexico City. Tom Brady, as expected, picked apart this Raiders secondary, 339 yards, 30 of 37, 3 TDs. So usual, typical Tom Brady awesome game against a bad defense. We thought Brandon Cooks was going to go off. He did. 6 for 149 and 9 targets. 8 for 66 and a TD on 9 targets for Amendola. He got banged up late there, Danny Amendola. But we loved his matchup in the slot. So Cooks and Amendola came through as expected with no David Amerson, no Gerrion Conley on the other side and the matchup. So you like to a team to trust the matchups. And that, of course, hurt Rob Gronkowski in this one. 3 for 36. They just didn't need Gronk all that much with the Raiders giving up downfield plays, and then they're also giving the underneath plays. 4 for 28 and a touchdown for Deion Lewis on his 4 targets. 10 for 60 rushing. So another solid game for Lewis as the backfield leader of his choice. Between Rex Burkhead and James White and anybody else, it's just a mixed bag. But Lewis is still really the feature back on this team, if you want to call something as such. But the volume for sure in relation to the others counts that when you have 14 for Lewis, 9 for Burkhead, and only 5 for White. So White is really kind of faded really hard out of this offense, and Lewis is now becoming more of a complete back where he's seeing the rushing stuff and the receiving stuff for this team. So Lewis is very usable and I think playable as an RB2 consistently going forward. We have pretty good evidence that the Patriots are not going to hold him back. Now, it started off well for the Raiders with Marshawn Lynch running well. He ended up there with 11 carries, 67 yards, one catch, 10 yards. But then we know Lynch just kind of gets out of this on game flow there. Now, that's what happened. Got out of hand. Derek Carr, 237, a TD interception. So a very disappointing game for Derek Carr. Even in garbage time, didn't really happen much. The touchdown at least went to Amari Cooper. So we kind of liked Cooper in this one. We didn't like the way it came. 3 for 28 and TD only. But that's what you take. Michael Crabtree was held in check at 11 targets, only caught 6 for 51. We had Johnny Holton have an ugly incident, potential touchdown, pushed a Patriot, then got ejected here. So you have Cordarrelle Patterson trying to pick up the slack, 4 for 45. Jared Cook, 2 for 36 on 5 targets, 5 for 36 on 9 for Seth Roberts. So overall, just a ugly game for the Raiders offense, and Roberts even lost a fumble there. So Cooper came through for you. Marshawn Lynch wasn't terrible as a running back too. But this Raiders offense, with so much on the line, you thought they would play a lot better. That did not happen in Mexico City. We go to our final game there to wrap up Roundup Monday. It's 37-9. The Eagles started slowly. This was actually a 9-7 Dallas halftime lead in this one. So you wondered if this was a game the Eagles would cool off. Nope. Everything got revved up in the second half. They dominated the second half, scored 30-0 for the Cowboys in the second half. Carson Wentz didn't explode, but he didn't have to. 168 yards and 2 TDs. That's because the rushing attack just went off. 215 yards. J.J. 7 carries for 91 yards, including a 71-yard run. He also added a catch for 10 yards, so he goes over 100 in his first true game as the top back here. LeGarrette Blount had a lot of mop-up time, ran well, but 13 for 57, but it was Kenyon Barner with a short TD and Corey Clement with a short TD, 6 for 50 there as well. So the spread of this backfield continues, but Ajayi is still the dominant force here. He just wasn't needed later in the game when he did all the good work early to put them up. And Wentz got his touchdowns to Alshon Jeffrey. Great catch there late in the game. 4 for 67 and TD. 3 for 28 and a TD for Torrey Smith. So another 2 TD game for Wentz. He loved that as his floor from game to game. Zach Ertz, disappointing, 2 for 8. But it was a tough matchup against Byron Jones in this one. A lot of rushing, a lot of grinding for Wentz in the, to get the production. There was a lot of grinding for Dak Prescott for nothing at all here. 144 yards and 3 interceptions. Again, no Tyron Smith. Just awful, awful game for Prescott here. Just was under siege again all day. Sacked 4 more times after the onslaught last week. The Cowboys tried to stay in this game with a lot of Alfred Morris, which is weird. They were trailing, but still 17 for 91 for Morris. Still clearly the back of choice here with Zeke out. Rod Smith got 8 carries, but only 11 yards. So Morris, again, 17 for 91. Pretty solid RB2. Again, you're not going to get Zeke numbers again with this offense struggling overall, but that's how it goes. Dez Bryant, 14 targets, but only caught 8 for 63. So a lot left on the table for Dez in a disappointing season. I think you just realize with this Cowboys offense, they just don't have many special receivers on this team, especially when Prescott is not protected and they can't run the ball the way they should. But really, 17 for 91 is pretty good for Morris. It's just these receivers really let down Prescott down as the sacks and pressure just really put him in a tough spot. And he also lost a fumble in this game that turned into a touchdown there for the Eagles. So maybe Smith will come back. He really needs Smith back, maybe more so than Elliott, to get going here. And he needs some receivers to step up. So it's not all on Prescott. He's pressing, trying to make things happen. And it's just very disappointing overall. 2 straight bad games. He's got to be a little bit better protected. Got a lot, need a lot more help from his receivers, or it's not going to get much better here soon. So there you have it. There's your edition of a Roundup Monday for Week 11 on Locked On Fantasy Football. Please go subscribe on iTunes and leave your Twitter handle there and with a review. We appreciate it. And make sure you're subscribing on Panoply Megaphone platform. We're here, iTunes, wherever you find us on podcasts. We are there. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you tomorrow for Pickup Tuesday for Week 12.